As your own Thomas Jefferson once said, honesty is the first chapter of wisdom. So to end, the fifth perspective in these verses is what we might call purposeful eternalism, and what a contrast it is to postmodern fatalism. For put simply, Paul presents in verse 18 his summary statement of direction and purpose. Read it with me. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The word look means literally to hold in one's gaze, translated here, fix one's attention on. This is the key to Paul's strength and his meaning here. It's because he has his eyes fixed on the prize, as he writes elsewhere, that he doesn't falter or waver. Like the cyclist in Cambridge, he looks wisely ahead to keep his balance and momentum. You never know when a tourist is going to step out in front of you. No, it's because he looks ahead. He's not easily distracted by the discouragements, the disappointments of his ministry, though the world probably reckons him some misguided failure, a foolish extremist. He draws his strength and value from another world. So as Philip Hughes comments, far from being a disappointed man, his way is one of joy and power and hope beyond description. His destiny is the destiny of Jesus. So as we read in Philippians 3:14, he presses on toward the heavenly goal. And it's heaven, too, that redefines his sense of time and compresses his sense of suffering. As John Calvin comments here, a moment is long if we look at the thing around us, but once we raise our minds to heaven, 1,000 years begin to be like a moment. Friends, what a difference this might make to our pastoral preaching. Think of how it might shape the content of the message we proclaim. It's this, surely, that it not only adds a healthier, longer perspective to immediate crises, it also gives the future power to shape and condition the present. A balanced Christian eschatology makes the future God's messenger to us in the present, reminding us of ultimate accountability, of human finitude, the coming of a new heaven and a new earth, as we read in Revelation. This is what we've called here purposeful eternalism. It's what we see in Paul in verse 18. Though he's describing his own outlook, surely he's encouraging his readers, you and I, to do the same as he does. This is effective pastoral preaching. Look, he's saying, look away from the immediate for a moment. What you see is merely temporary. Fix your gaze on what you cannot see, on what is eternal. So as we draw to the end of this series and another busy week, this is sound advice. When I'm excessively busy, I sometimes close my eyes and think of my quiet little farmhouse in Wales. It makes all the difference. And to Paul, a thought of heaven makes all the difference. Here then are 5 perspectives for you on the content of the message of the pastoral preacher that's brought to a troubled postmodern world. On each of them, there's so much more could be said, but from each of them, I hope you'll see hope is derived. The calling of a pastoral preacher is to bring this hope to our world by living the truth as treasured work in God's church. May God strengthen each of us in our ministry to live in hope triumphant for Christ's sake and for the sake of those entrusted to us. Amen.